ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद्गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 27 चैप्टर एंटाइटल नॉलेज ऑफ द एब्सोल्यूट। इच्छा द्वेष समुत्थेन द्वंद्वमोहेन भारत सर्वभूतानि सम्मोहम् सर्गे अन्ति परन्तप। ट्रांसलेशन। ओ सियन ऑफ भारत, ओ कंकर ऑफ द फो, ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज आर बॉर्न इनटू डिल्यूजन, बिविल्डर्ड बाय ड्युअलिटीज अराइजन फ्रॉम desire and hate. Purport. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by the illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by His internal potencies. But those who are deluded by the duality and the science think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc., thinking, "This is my wife, this is my house, I am the master of this house, I am the husband of this wife." These are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation once again. O Sian of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by the dualities arising from desire and hate. Seek the blessings of all the devotees present here, so I can speak something for my purification. Not qualified to speak on this lofty subject matter, but for my purification, I'll try to speak something. So in this verse, Lord Krishna is explaining the root cause of ours being in this material world. In fact, in the verse 7.26, that is the verse before this, Krishna says, Veda am samatitani, vartamanani charjuna, bhavishyani cha bhutani, mam tu vedana kashchana. Krishna is saying that I know what has happened in the past, what is happening in the present, as well as what is going to happen in the future. I know all living entities, but me, no one knows. So, when Lord Krishna says that living entities do not know me, then the question can be asked, why? Why is it that a living entity cannot know Krishna, cannot understand who Krishna is? So the answer to this question is given in this verse, that Ichha dvesha samuttena dvanda mohena bharata. Everybody, every living entity in this world is born into delusion. Delusion by Maya's external or by Maya's illusory energy, which actually does not allow us to understand the Supreme Lord as He is. Why? Because we only see the dualities due to the powerful energy of the Supreme Lord, that is Maya. And also in the previous verse, Krishna is saying, Veda am samatitane. He is the one who is knower of everything. Vartamanani cha bhavishyani cha bhutani. Bhutani means he knows what has happened in the past. So, now we may know something about past. Past of our lives. Maybe, you know, a few years, say 20 years back I was born. And I stayed here for some time. Then I was shifted somewhere else. Then I did my studies, graduation, and so on and so forth. But we do not remember what has exactly happened in our past life. What to speak of, you know, the other lives we have spent in this world. But the Supreme Lord here is saying that He knows past, present and future. And past means what? He knows practically past of every living entity. And past of not only of this life or the previous life, but how exactly a living entity came into existence. How origin of living entity took place in this world. Krishna knows that also. So, when Krishna says, I know past, present and future, so in the next verse, that is today's verse, verse number 27, Krishna is saying that everybody is born into delusion. And bewildered by the dualities arising from desire and hate. So we are into this world because of our own desire, or to say precisely, because of misusing our free will or independence. And only desiring to be the enjoyer and not to be enjoyed. That's the reason why we are in this material world. We means all living entities. And because we want to become God, we want to say imitate God, because He is the ultimate enjoyer. Because we want to imitate just like Him, that's why Lord has given us this world, so that we can, in minute proportion, in minute quantity, try to become the Lord of all we survey. A small child, born in an affluent family, is nurtured, nourished and taken care of by his family members. A child is completely dependent on the mercy of his parents. And as he grows up, he is enjoying the facilities given by the parents, enjoying the affluence, enjoying the opulences given by the parents. Although he is not in the capacity to earn something, although he is completely dependent, but still he is getting a chance to enjoy. It's not that the parents are telling him to go out and earn. The parents are just telling him to just share what they have. But as child grows up and becomes a young man, he starts developing many independent desires. And he thinks that, okay, I want to get separated from my parents. And that's what is happening today in this world. When a child grows, he starts becoming independent, And because of that, he starts thinking, okay, let me, you know, become independent and try to enjoy whatever I can. And when he gets married, then there is another thought process that is added to his own thought process. So when two thought processes combine, then the ultimate decision is, okay, let me just, you know, get away from my parents. They are becoming a burden, or they are becoming an obstacle to my enjoyment. So then he decides to depart and become separate from his parents. Now, parents don't want that a child should get separated. But the child, out of his out of his stupidity, he thinks, okay, no, I have the strength to earn. I can do what I want. And he completely gives up all the opulences that the parents had given him. And now he's trying to live an independent life. But now the problem is, he is alone. He doesn't have any support. And in the pursuit of enjoyment, he has to struggle hard. If he would have been with his parents, he would not have to struggle so much. But now, because he's away from his parents, away from that opulence of his parents, naturally, he has to struggle alone. That's what is the condition of every living entity. When a living entity decides to become an independent enjoyer, separate from the service of the Lord, then he thinks that, okay, I will enjoy. But in the pursuit of enjoyment, he struggles and struggles and struggles. In fact, in Christian theology, in the Old Testament of Bible, there is a beautiful story that is very much relevant to today's verse. How living entity got separated from the Supreme Lord. So the story is about God who created this entire creation within 6 days. This is how the story begins. And on the first day, God said, let there be light. So there was light. And God created day and light, day and night. Second day, God said, let there be earth. Let there be land. So this land came into existence. Previously, there was only ocean. There was only oceanic body. There was nothing else. But then Lord said, okay, let there be land. Then came land. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai. And then, God said, let there be sky. So there came sky. Fourth day, God just said, let there be plants, creepers, animals, birds, or other living entities. And there came. On the fifth and the sixth day, it is said that God created human being. And on the seventh day, it is said that Lord took rest. So the first living being Lord God created was named Adam. And God created this Adam from the dust of this earth. And he impregnated a spirit or life into his body. And he became the first man on this earth. And God said to him that you have a dominion okay, no, I am putting everything, whatever is there on this creation under your care. You have to take care of this creation. So all the birds, the fish, the animals, the reptiles, the aquatics, everything came under his dominion. But at the same time, God created another companion for Adam. Now that's another story, how a God created another companion. No, God made Adam go to sleep and made a surgery, and from his body took out a rib. This is an allegorical story from Bible, and I'm just telling this. And God, he did a surgery, and from the rib cage, he took one of the bones and created woman. And he gave her the name Eve. So now, Adam and Eve, they were given the dominion to enjoy. So on the eastern side of this earth planet, God created paradise. And told both of them that there are wonderful fruits, wonderful trees on this land. You have full right to enjoy. But in the center of this paradise, there is one tree. That tree is called the tree of knowledge and the good and evil. Don't ever touch this tree. What to speak of touching the fruit and eating it. So they said, okay. So then God disappeared, and finally they started living in that place. But suddenly one day a serpent arrived, and serpent started tempting Eve. That, my dear Eve, you are enjoying all the fruits of all these trees here in this vicinity. But why you are not touching that tree which is there in the center? So Eve explained what exactly God told to them. But the serpent immediately replied by saying that actually, God wants you to eat the fruits of this tree. So she got scared. She said, no, how can I eat? How can I touch? But the serpent replied by saying that actually this is the best tree amongst all the trees. And the fruit that is there in this tree is the best fruit. Actually, if you eat this fruit, then you'll become God. And because God didn't wanted you to become God, that's why he told you not to eat this fruit. So Eve got very much tempted and immediately went to that tree, touched the tree, took the fruit and immediately ate it. Immediately called Adam and gave that fruit to Adam. And as soon as both of them, Adam and Eve, ate that fruit, something amazing happened. And they both started feeling guilt. They both started feeling ashamed of what they did. And it is said that this fruit, eating that fruit means losing all the innocence. They were innocent. They were pure in their heart. They were in fact undressed. But now when they ate that fruit, they were forced to come under the power of dualities. And they started discriminating. Okay, I am man, you are woman. And then God suddenly appears. And then, God is asking, where are you? I am trying to search you. So they both are trying to hide themselves from God. But then finally, they come in front of God and then they confess that they ate that fruit. So God replies that now is the time that you have to leave this place. This place is meant for those who are innocent, pure at heart, free from the dualities of this world. But now, because you ate those fruits actually contain the seed of envy. And because of that, now you are discriminating. Okay, you are a man, you know, discriminating, she's female or something like that. And then God ordered, you know, Eve, that your job is to procreate, and told Adam that in spite of having such wonderful fruits and trees and wonderful greenery, you still will have to work hard. So then they were forced to leave that place. So the serpent, so this is just an allegorical story, but this one verse, today's verse, explains everything. What is the cause of ours coming into this world? Being completely coming under the power of illusory energy of the Lord. That serpent represents the illusory energy of the Lord, which tempts a living entity to eat the forbidden fruit, which is not meant for us to eat, which is not meant for us to enjoy. And that eating that fruit means violating the will of God. That's what God told them, not to eat that fruit. But they violated the law. So eating the fruit or enjoying the fruit means violating the rules and regulations. So this allegorical story explains how we are here in this world, influenced by the dualities. Okay, now we have come to this world with the only purpose of enjoyment. But it's not that a living entity is enjoying all throughout. It's not that living entity is drowning in the ocean of joy 24/7 into 365. It's not like that. Living entity is actually struggling hard, working hard more than enjoying. And he may be enjoying maybe for a few hours of the day, maybe when he sleep, when he's eating, or when he's sleeping, or when he's mating, or something, or some other thing that gives enjoyment. But instead of really enjoying, the living entity is struggling hard in this material world. Above that, living entities is tossed up and down by the dualities of this world in the form of heat and cold, pain and pleasures, or honor and dishonor, fame and infamy, and whatnot. So it's like tossing a coin. Sometimes it's heads, sometimes it's tails. As somebody say, kabhi khushi, kabhi gham. But we have to say that kabhi khushi, it is mostly gham. Why? Because we hardly enjoy. We hardly actually get time to enjoy the fruits of our activities. So, these dualities of this world, they actually block the natural instinct of the living entity to be blissful. It completely blocks. These dualities, they actually hamper. They stop us, isn't it? Sometimes, if we attain success in our life, we become happy, or we are honored, or we become rich because of that success. And within no time, out of blue or from nowhere, we suddenly fail. And we become morose, we are dishonored, and we sometimes become poor because of failures in life. So this is how this world functions. It is actually a world of duality. And Lord Krishna, it's a fact. This is a universal principle. Wherever we go, a person may go from one place to another, one planet to another. But these principles are applicable everywhere. Living entity is forced to live by the dualities. And because God, because Krishna being the creator, he exactly knows how this world functions. Functionalities of this world is known very clearly by Krishna. That's why he says, Vedam samatitani vartmanani cha Arjuna. And that's why he's saying, oh Arjuna, everybody is born into delusion. Overpowered dualities arising from desire and hate. There's a beautiful story which Gopinath Chandra Prabhu told me yesterday. The story is about a seed. Now the seed was lying on the ground and suddenly a goat appears. Or suddenly a bird appears on the scene and wants to eat that seed. But that seed stops that bird and tells that bird that, please don't eat me. Please wait for some time. Please come after some time and then you can eat me. So that bird, maybe the bird of Satyuga, he actually heard what seed said and flew away. After some time, that seed grew into a small shrub or a small plant. And a goat came to eat that plant. But that plant immediately refused the goat. Please don't eat me. Come after some time and then you can eat me. Goat, seeing the simple heart of this plant, followed what plant said and just went away. That seed became plant. That same plant, after some time, went on to become a big tree. And a man came to cut down that tree. And that tree replied to that man, please don't touch me or don't cut me down. Wait for some time. And then you can come and cut me. So what happened is that tree started coming up with a lot of fruits. And that fruits contain a lot of seeds. So these seeds were eaten by the birds. And there were a lot of leaves on the trees. Those leaves which fell down were eaten by the goat. And there were so many branches, so many extra bark of the tree that got shaded away, and that were that fell down, that were taken by a man. So the moral of this story is that if we have patience, then that patience really bears fruit. But this is just a story, as Gopinath Chandra Prabhu was saying. This is just a story. Nobody is going to wait for anybody to grow. Animals won't wait, or a bird won't wait for the seed to grow. And multiply into more seeds. This is just a story. Animals, they just act according to their instincts. They are forced to act according to their whims. And they are just carried away by the powerful instinct they get at any time. Now say for example, an animal, anytime that animal sees a food, it just runs towards that direction and tries to eat that food. Or say for example, a bird, or say a pigeon, tries to, when he sees a sheep pigeon, immediately tries to circumambulate that sheep pigeon, try to impress. Or or any animal, when they trace that there is some danger, they out of fear, they just immediately run away from that place. So they don't have the capacity to control those instincts. They just act when they get those whims, when they get those instincts, they just act accordingly, carried away. But that's not the case with the human beings. Human beings have the power to control. Have the power to control these dualities. Have the power to control these instincts. But today, modern civilization is promoting instincting behavior. What is instinctive behavior? You just act as you like. When you like, you just do things. When your mind wants, you can just get carried away by the whims of your mind. Just do it. That's what the modern civilization says. No question of tolerating the dualities. Say for example, in summer season, when there is a lot of heat, a body must perspire. And when a body perspires, all the toxins that are there in the body automatically are gone. They just gets washed away. But nowadays, today we have a cooling device just to refrain ourselves from lot of heat. We don't want heat. We don't want to tolerate that heat, but on the contrary, we are devising newer and newer plans by which we can just counteract those dualities. Now it is said that same cooling device is the cause for causing more and more heat in this world by depleting the ozone layer. So human beings have the power to control or power to tolerate those urges or dualities. Knowing very well the devastating consequences in the future. But nowadays we don't. Or say for example, when we are walking by a road, we see a wonderful a stall of vada pav, and we just, as Rohini Prabhu was saying today morning, our tongue starts salivating, and immediately we run towards that direction. Although we know that it's rainy season, the oil which they use is purely contaminated. Oil which they use is of the lowest of the low quality. But still, because of not able to control that urge or instinct, we just can't tolerate and we just get carried away. And then, what's the consequences? We fall sick. Living entity knows that, but still commits that blunder. और से लिविंग एंटिटी आउट ऑफ अ डिजायर टू सेटिस्फाई द टंग किल्स एनिमल्स. But then, what they undergo, they suffer from, you know, bird flu or what not. You know, what are the diseases which are caused by, you know, chickens or other animals. You know, there was, few years back, there was, you know, mad cow disease, something like that. And so many cows were slaughtered. So many chickens were slaughtered, thinking that they will cause harm to our body. But at the first place, they don't know that eating the meat of those animals itself is so very contaminating, so very harmful to one's body. So this is modern civilization. Does not promote tolerating the dualities, but promotes this idea of just do it. When you want, as you want. Just do it and don't care about what happens in the future. But our scripture explains that we are here in this dualities of in this world, suffering the dualities of this world. The only way to overcome duality is to transcend those dualities by tolerating those dualities. That's how we can actually overcome dualities. Otherwise, it's not possible. And the danger part is that more we promote this instinct, more we give freedom to enjoy, that instinct makes our conditioning deeper and deeper and deeper. And we just can't come out of it. And we go deeper into the dualities of this world. And Prabhupada clearly says here that those who are deluded by the dualities of this world such deluded person symptomatically dwells in dualities of dishonor and honor, miseries and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, etc. So, the only way to overcome duality is to tolerate. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Matras Parshastu Kanteya, Shitoshna Sukha Dukada, Agama Apaya No Nisya, Tam Titikshasva Bharata. That's the solution, ultimate solution to overcome dualities. Not just give yourself or not just self, keep, not just give freedom or not just following the whims of one's mind. That's why it is said that Srila Prabhupada gave us these four regulative principles so that we learn to transcend. Otherwise, these dualities, they bind us more and more in this material world. Along with the dualities, there is a thick layer of illusion which is pervading the whole material atmosphere, which does not allow us to understand the Supreme Lord. Illusion and dualities, both. And it is one of the four defects of the conditioned living entity is he is bound to get illusion. One is to cheat imperfect senses, then bound to get illusion, and the fourth is, there's one more. Tendency to commit mistakes. So this illusion, the illusory energy of the Lord is so strong that it does not allow us. In fact, Lord Krishna says, Sattvat sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobha evacha pramado, what is that? ప్రమాదో మోహ తమస భవతో అజ్ఞానమేవచ దట్ వాట్ కమ్స్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ మోడ్ ఆఫ్ గుడ్నెస్ ఇస్ ప్యూర్ నాలెడ్జ్ సత్వాత్ సంజాయతే జ్ఞానం అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ ప్యాషన్ కమ్స్ గ్రీడ్ బట్ వాట్ కమ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ మోడ్ ఆఫ్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్ ఇస్ ఇల్యూజన్ అండ్ మ్యాడ్నెస్ అండ్ ఫులిష్నెస్ So illusion is nothing but it's a product of mode of ignorance. And say, to give a simple example, when there is in dark, when we can't see things as they are, when there is no light, then what happens? There is every possibility that we may get illusion. Or we may misunderstand something for something else. So, it is only in ignorance that we will tend to get illusion. But if we are in knowledge, that is light, then we can actually pierce through the thick layers of illusion and rise above. And actually then can we understand the Supreme Lord as He is. Otherwise it's impossible. And this material world in actuality is a dark place. If you remove the only source of light in this world, that is sun. If you remove sun from the picture, then this world is nothing but a dark place. It's a dark place. So because of the absence of light or sun, we are in darkness. But because of sun, there is life in this world. If sun would have not been there, then life ceases to exist. So actual life is where light is. But when there is darkness, there is no question of life. We are living dead. So when we are covered by the illusory energy of the Lord, we are actually not living our real life. We are living dead. And what's the power of the illusory energy? Illusory energy of the Lord is, Prabhupada explains, that the illusory energy of the Lord is so strong that even a hog, if a hog is who lives on the filthy stool, or stays in the gutters, feels himself enjoying, or feels himself to be in a very comfortable position. Prabhupada says, this is illusion. Now a hawk cannot understand this. It's difficult for a hawk to understand. But human beings, as human beings, if we are told to go and stay in the gutters, we won't. Why? Because we understand, okay, this is a very filthy place and it's not actually a place of comfort, or it's not actually a place of enjoyment. It's a place of misery. A human being can understand, but the hawk cannot understand. So according to human beings, that so-called comfort place of a hog is a place of misery. At least that much understanding human beings have. But what human beings are enjoying in this world, from the point of view of the denizens of the heavenly planet, this is like eating stool. What enjoyment we are trying to experience, it's nothing but what a hog is and trying to enjoy in the gutters. We can't understand this, but they can. Because as one goes up, the illusory energy, I mean, this is the place where illusory energy is thickest. Of course, it's at all the place thickest.
And from the absolute point of view, what enjoyment the heavenly denizens are enjoying, that is also like the enjoyment which the hogs are enjoying in this world. So that's the power of illusory energy. We think we are enjoying, but actually it's not enjoyment, it's illusory. We think there is some water in the mirage, but there is no water. But of course, there is water somewhere. So this is the nature or this is the power of illusory energy. And Krishna says, all living beings are born into delusion. They are under this illusion. So unless and until we rise above this illusion, or Prabhupada calls that as Maya or ignorance, it's impossible to understand the Supreme Lord. Why? Because the Supreme Lord is above the illusory energy. I mean, He is the controller. He is the source. How can He come under His own external energy or illusory energy? It's impossible. So if we want to know who the Supreme Lord is, then we must transcend that illusion. Otherwise, it's not possible. But Prabhupada explains that this illusion is not only in the material field, but it's also in the spiritual circle as well. When people, they think that I want to become God, that is the, Prabhupada says, that is the last snare of illusion. When a person wants to become God, and Prabhupada is so precisely mentioning this point in this verse, he is saying that due to desire and hate, that is duality, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord, or wants to become God, and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means he wants to keep aside Krishna. He wants to take Krishna out of the picture, and he wants to take the position of the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada said, this is the biggest illusion. Why? Because we can never become God. So illusion can extend even to such a degree or such an extent where person thinks that he is God, but actually he is completely under illusion. That is illusory energy of the Lord. We think we are liberated, but actually we are not. So this is the highest degree of illusion, the spiritual circle. When a person thinks that, okay, let me become God instead of serving God. So we are here in this world because we have an independent desire to enjoy separate from God. And now, if we have the desire to again become the enjoyers by becoming God, then naturally, it's quite understood, it's quite, you know, a fact that we are an illusion. Unless and until again we develop a desire of servitude, till that time, we cannot rise above this powerful illusory energy. Because when we are in the mood of servitude, then we keep aside our own enjoying mentality. Which is the cause of our being here. And when we develop this service attitude, then automatically we start rising above the dualities and rising above the illusory energy of the Lord. मामचयो व्यभिचारेण भक्ति योगेन सेवते स गुणान समतीत्यैत्यान ब्रह्म भूयाय कल्पते. वन कैन ट्रांसेंड दीज मोड्स, स्पेशली द मोड ऑफ इग्नोरेंस, मोड ऑफ पैशन, ओनली वेन वन टेक्स टू द टू अनअलॉयड डिवोशन सर्विस ऑफ द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड. अदरवाइज इट्स इम्पॉसिबल. सो श्रीमद भागवतम एंड ऑल द डिवोशनल स्क्रिप्चर्स, दे हैव द पावर टू कट अपार्ट और कट ओपन और पियर्स द डीप लेयर्स ऑफ इल्यूजन. दे हैव द पावर टू पेनिट्रेट अवर हार्ट विच इज कवर्ड राइट नाउ बाय अनर्थस एंड bring out the real, genuine, or awaken our dormant Krishna consciousness. So if somebody asks, how do we overcome this illusory energy of the Lord, is through hearing and chanting of the holy names. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, yasyam ve shrunyamananam Krishne paramapurushe bhakti utpadyate pumsam shokamoha bayapaha. When one simply gives an oral reception to the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, Krishne paramapurushe, who is the Supreme Lord of all the Lords, then what happens? Bhakti or service attitude or devotional service gradually develops within one heart. And shok moha bhayapaha, automatically one becomes free from lamentation or hankering, that is the dualities, moha, that is illusion, and bhaya, that is fear. So this is the process of overcoming illusion. Otherwise, it's impossible. In fact, two people heard Bhagavad Gita simultaneously. One was Dhritarashtra and one was Arjuna. When Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita, what was his conclusion? Nashto moho smriti labdva tvat prasadat mayachuta sthitosmi gata sandeha karishye vachanam tava. That my dear Lord, because of this knowledge which you have imparted unto me, all my doubts and illusions have been dispelled. And on the contrary, Dhritarashtra also heard that same Bhagavad Gita. But what was his reaction? Because he did not take shelter of the Supreme Lord, his illusion increased more and more and more. So we have to decide whether we want to get rid of this illusion or whether we want to just get drowned by this illusory energy of the Lord. So this verse clearly explains, I'll just end. This verse clearly explains how a person or a conditional living entity comes into this world and get caught up. But the next verse gives us hope. Krishna is so merciful. He is giving us a solution also. But okay, living entity is caught up in this material world. Fine. But how can one rise up? Krishna is saying, Yesham tvantagadam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvanda moha nirmuktam bhajante mam dridavata. When one performs all the sinful activities or the sins comes to an end. Jananam. Jana means to give birth. When piety takes place or gives rise in our life, then what happens is automatically te dvanda moha nirmukta. One gets freed from the dualities and illusion of this world. And bhajate mam dridavata, that person, he worshipped the Supreme Lord with unflinching faith. And that's what Krishna, again, this is 7th chapter, again in the 15th chapter, Krishna is saying, who is eligible to enter into the kingdom of God? Krishna is saying, Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama dvandir vimukta sukha dukha sangir gachantya muda padama vyayam tat. Krishna is saying, Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha. One who is first of all humble. Nirmana moha. One who is freed from illusion, who has controlled his senses. Adhyatma nitya, who is engaged constantly in the devotional service of the Lord. Vinivritta kama, free from desire or hankering and lamentation. Dvandir vimukta, is free from the dvands, that is the dualities, that sukha dukh, as we discussed, pains and pleasures of this world. Gachandhya muda, that person is the most intelligent, and that person has eligibility to enter into the kingdom of God. So we have come here because of having a separate desire to enjoy or become the enjoyers. And when we overcome these dualities and illusions of this world, then we can return back home, back to God. Thank you very much. Is there any questions or comments? Sorry if I've spoken anything wrong. How do you develop service attitude? Basically, when we right now, what is the situation is we think that we are the center of universe, and we think that everything is revolving around I and mine. So when we keep aside that I and mine mentality, or when we keep aside that false ego which makes us think that, okay, let me become the enjoyer. When we keep aside that mentality, then can we actually serve others. Otherwise, it's impossible. So one has to be humble enough to admit that he is not the enjoyer. When one is humble enough, when one understands that actually he is just 1/10,000 of the tip of hair, that's what we are, then automatically we become humble. We are insignificant. And when we develop that mood of humility, then can we actually develop this mood of servitude. Otherwise, it's difficult. So we have to just replace. We have to, right now, we are in the center. We have to bring Krishna in the center. And when you associate with devotees who have that service attitude, when we see that here are the people who have nothing to do with their own enjoyment, but they are selflessly serving the whole humanity. The perfect example is Srila Prabhupada. The best we can learn from Prabhupada is service attitude. At the age of 70, when he had all rights to take care of his body, nobody would have told him. Full justice he could have given to his body. But still, he gave up his own self-comfort, went out. For whom? For what? For us. just because he had that service attitude. Because he could see that each and every living entities are parts and parcels of Krishna. There was no selfish agenda for establishing this Krishna consciousness movement. The only purpose was a genuine, selfless service attitude. So we see what Prabhupada has undergone. And when we read Prabhupada Lilamrita, this is the lesson which we can learn. How we can develop the service attitude. So when we associate with such people who have this magnanimous heart, then we also develop a desire. We also think, come on. We start developing guilt. I am so selfish. Let me also be a part. Let me also contribute some of my strength by helping this person. And then slowly and gradually we develop the service attitude. Of course, I am nobody to speak on this subject matter. It's way beyond my realization. But this is what I think. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much for your patience hearing. And please forgive me if I have spoken anything wrong. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.